The group stage is over. Champions League debutants Atalanta shock Shakhtar to reach the knockout stage.
Here's the free kick. Malinovsky takes it. Near post, it's gone all the way in. Pašalić is claiming a touch and the most extraordinary comeback in Group C. And now a place in the round of 16 beckons.
Meanwhile, Atletico cruise past Lokomotiv to become the final team to secure their spot in the round of 16.
Here's the cross from Koke on a fabulous first-time finish. That might just do it. Atletico do have their second goal of the game.
Whilst Bayern's brilliant Brazilian ensures they become only the seventh side in history to win all of their six group stage matches.
Back to Coutinho, who bends a shot into the corner. That is something really special from Philip Coutinho. And Bayern have daylight between themselves and Tottenham.
A huge upset, a hat-trick hero and a French thrashing. We'll bring you it all right here on Match Day Live. Welcome to the show with myself, Chris Powett, alongside me, the European football expert, Andy Brassel. Matchday 6 is normally good. It has not disappointed in 2019. Tuesday was pretty special, and on Wednesday, some balmy results and an extraordinary story with Atalanta making it through.
Yeah. Absolutely. Less places up for grabs on the Wednesday than on the Tuesday, as you say, Chris. But Atalanta, an incredible comeback for them after 1 point from four games. And then we got Atletico, a team who was so comfortable in this competition, really having to roll their sleeves up and grind it out to make sure they got in the last 16 as well.
Yeah, only two last 16 spots were up for grabs on Wednesday, but there was plenty of drama. Let me quickly run through all of Wednesday's results. Then in Group A, it finished Paris Saint-Germain 5, Galatasaray 0, and Club Brugge 1, Real Madrid 3. Group B, Bayern 3, Tottenham 1, Olympiakos 1, Sevena Zvezda 0. Group C, the early group, Shakhtar 0, Atalanta 3, as we've mentioned. Dinamo Zagreb 1, Manchester City 4. And in Group D, Atletico 2, Lokomotiv 0, Leverkusen 0, Juventus 2. So the last 16 draw takes place on Monday. And here are the teams in the pot. You can watch and follow it live on UEFA.com. This is the first knockout round. Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid, Bayern, Tottenham, Manchester City, Atalanta, Juventus, Atletico, Liverpool the holders, Napoli, Barcelona, Dortmund, Leipzig, Lyon, Valencia and Chelsea. The big hitters are there, the most successful teams ever in the competition are there, Andy, but there's a few new names as well to just upset the apple cart, perhaps.
Yeah, there are. And I think if you go back to some results earlier on in the group stages, we talked about Atalanta, of course, but you look at Leipzig, who've been so impressive in the Bundesliga in Germany this season. And when they lost on match day two at home to Lyon, you thought, well, is a bit of naivety undoing them? But the results they got against Zenit really fired their campaign, and they've done brilliantly to not just get there, but to win the group.
Yes, they did. Julian Nagelsmann as well. Very impressive coach, as we know. OK, it says in the script we're going to get your predictions for who you think will make the final later on, Andy. So you best get thinking.
Yeah, I'm going to need a few minutes.
You've got 23 to be precise. But we're going to start now with a look at Wednesday's results in Ukraine. Shakhtar started the day with qualification in their own hands, whilst their opponents, Atalanta, needed to win and cross their fingers about the other Group C results.
Back to Gomez. Is he offside? It's very tight. He slid it across. Keeper makes a save, but no! Castagna puts it in before the flag then does go up for offside. And the referee says, goal! It's a goal for Atalanta! Timothy Castagna with a breakthrough after a VAR check. Here's the free kick. Malinovsky takes it. Near post! It's gone all the way in! Pašalić is claiming a touch, but it's a second goal for Atalanta and the most extraordinary comeback in Group C. And now a place in the round of 16 beckons. It's put home by Gosens. And the final indignity for Shakhtar. And a 3-0 victory with a late goal that seals their passage to the knockout phase.
First season in the Champions League, and Atalanta are not going to forget it. In a hurry, the celebrations at the end told the story, Andy, over in Kharkiv. The whole team, Gasperini in front of a hearty bunch of 500 fans who'd made the trip from Bergamo. I don't think they could quite believe it. Newcastle United in 2002 and Atalanta in 2019, the only two sides ever to have 0 points from three games and still make it through. And perhaps they left their most assured and best performance until match day six?
Yeah, they did. And the big difference, of course, between Newcastle all those years ago and Atalanta is, well, Alan Shearer and Craig Bellamy. they had Papu Gomez, of course.
They did, yeah.
Who's really helpful in that sort of situation. I think if you look back to what went wrong for Atalanta earlier in the campaign, you look at the injury to Duvan Zapata, who scored so many goals last season. You look at the last second winner that Shakhtar got at San Siro to win that game on match day two. You look at the 4-0 defeat against Dinamo Zagreb on match day one. I mean, that felt like a bit of a wake-up. I thought they were really unlucky against Shakhtar in the first game. The winning goal by Solomon, it was a sort of byproduct of them going for it, really, and throwing caution to the wind a little bit. And they do say fortune favours the brave. Atalanta were brave. They were certainly brave when they went to Manchester City, tried to go toe-to-toe with them, and ended up losing 5-1. A bit of an unflattering score. But Gasperini is nothing if not a principal coach, and he's stuck to what he knows and what he believes in.
Very interesting that you say that. Very brave one. Quote after the game from him: we showed that our style of play, which is almost all out attack for most of the time, can be successful in Europe. We believed in it, and they certainly will now. I mean, He's had to change the mindset at Atalanta for the players to believe it can work in Serie A, which it has, and now they're amongst the elite teams in the Champions League. They are going to be a tricky opponent for whoever they are paired with in Monday's draw.
Yeah, they certainly are. And to think that they had to essentially play all six matches away from home as well.
Yes.
Because their stadium was being renovated, so they ended up playing at San Siro, which was a bit of an adjustment for them and for their supporters, although they made the best of it. And, you know, this is a team with so much attacking juice. If you think that Zapata can come back, Ilicic, we've seen little moments from him in the group stages, but not as much as Gasperini would have liked. And of course, they're really flying in Serie A. Now, I think you look at the way they're looked at in Italy at the moment, and people don't think of them as a plucky underdog. They think of them as a genuine top four team, because they've done it for a couple of years, and they've played great matches in the Europa League, and now they've developed and learned so quickly in the UEFA Champions League.
And perhaps that is the biggest compliment that anyone could make, that they are just considered now a top four team of Gasperini's body of work. If you look at all of the groups, though, Atalanta through with 7 points, okay? Through with 7 points. Group E, Salzburg out with 7 points. Group F, Inter out with 7 points. Group G, Zenit finished bottom with 7 points. And Group H, Ajax out with 10 points. It's phenomenal how different sections can just have, you know, you can look for an overall points total at the start of the group stage, but really anything can happen, as we've seen this season.
Yeah, and we've been here before in the UEFA Champions League, of course. Myself and some of the team, before we went on air, we were talking about going back to 2013, 2014, and that group where you had Marseille, Arsenal, yes, Napoli and Dortmund, and the big three all ending up on 12 points. Napoli was zero, Marseille was zero. And Napoli got 12 points and went out. So however hard done by Ajax feel, there's been worse in the past.
Yes, quite right. So they went through with that victory. Dinamo Zagreb could have gone through themselves, but they lost 4-1 at home to Manchester City despite taking the lead. City had already been confirmed as group winners, remember. They finished in style, a hat-trick through Gabriel Jesus, but their boss Pep Guardiola talked about Atalanta post-match, and he said that going through shows how unpredictable the Champions League can be.
Yeah, look for example, Atalanta, after three games, they had 0 points and they go through. And the guys who are going to face Atalanta in the last 16 prepare themselves quite well, because it's an incredibly strong team. So, this competition is so demanding. So last season, I think Ajax is out, but played really good against Valencia. It was 1-4 in London against Chelsea, and with the penalty, two sent off and after change. So this competition, for the little details, you can be in, you can be out.
Yeah, City and Atalanta can't draw each other because they're in the same group. Very much from the same way of thinking, I think, when it comes to football, Guardiola and Gasperini. I mentioned Jesus's hat-trick. The first of those goals meant that he became the youngest ever Brazilian to score 10 goals in the UEFA Champions League, beating Neymar's record. And he says a Champions League hat-trick is something he's always dreamed of.
It's special. When I was young, I think about Champions League. I would play, I would score, I want the ball. So, yeah, for me, it's a very special moment when I score goals and hat-trick as well. I have to do my job. My job is score a goal and help the team. Without the ball, with the ball, 2 months ago, or maybe, I think last month, I'm not scoring, so I feel so bad because I have to score, help my teammate. So now the goals is coming, so I'm so happy, but I cannot stop. I have to keep scoring because it's very important.
Phil Foden got the other goal for Manchester City. Back to winning ways after a tricky spell for Pep Guardiola domestically, certainly. This is how Group C finished then. Manchester City, group winners, 14 points. Atalanta second with 7 points. Shakhtar into the Europa League last, 32, having picked up 6 points. Dinamo Zagreb, who really entertained, finishing bottom of the pile with 5 points. So Group C was very much undecided ahead of match day 6, and so was Group D, because Atletico's place in the last 16 still had to be confirmed on match day 6. A win over Lokomotiv Moskva in Madrid would have guaranteed their place in Monday's draw.
Kieran Trippier stands with hands on hips, steps up and strikes it, and the goalkeeper gets a touch to it, onto the post and away! And Lokomotiv survived the scare. Kochenkov, who gave away the penalty, has kept out the penalty. Big pressure on the young shoulders of the Portuguese here. Standing over it against Kochenkov, taking a slow run up, striking it low, right-footed perfectly into the corner. And Atletico do have their goal from the spot this time. João Félix scores it, kept a cool head. Well, here's the cross from Koke. Oh, a fabulous first-time finish. That might just do it. Atletico do have their second goal of the game. Felipe takes the salute of the support for Atletico. 2-0 in front.
Phil Blacker, your commentator, he joins us now. It could have been an early night for Atletico, but as we heard there, pretty comfortable and a sizeable step forward for a team who have been underperforming, even by Diego Simeone's admission in recent weeks.
Yeah, and that run that they'd been on, I think, increased the pressure and the potential for nerves on a night which could have gone down a very different path, let's face it, particularly given the fact they'd lost their last two group games, had looked to be comfortably cruising towards qualification. They shouldn't really have found themselves in this situation, but once they were there, they were able to overcome the hurdle. They passed the test of nerve, and if anything, against a limited Lokomotiv side, they could have scored more goals. Certainly that very early penalty from Kieran Trippier, it was less than a minute play when that was awarded. Had that gone in, then they may have raced away with it. Loco did defend with real discipline and diligence. They provided the commitment that they promised despite their position at the foot of the group. The goalkeeper, Anton Kochenkov, who conceded and then saved that early penalty, admitted it was his fault. He says with the first one, he made up for it by saving it and then waited until the last moment, he says, to try and guess where João Félix's shot was going. But he wasn't lucky with that one. I don't think he was getting it, even if he'd gone a couple of minutes earlier. No. So precise was it into the corner. But he made a series of saves. I think it was 10-1 in terms of
shots on goal in Atletico's favour in the first half, and there wasn't really too much of a change in that dynamic after the break. But it wasn't until that second goal went in from Felipe, a fine finish from the centre-back, his first Champions League goal for the club, that's when they could really start to breathe again. And of course, after that event, elsewhere went in their favour as well. But by that point, it didn't matter. Atletico knew this was a game where if they won, they were through, and they got that job done. At no point really did you feel it was going to go a different way, despite the potential pitfalls.
Yeah, because had they not won and Leverkusen had have beaten Juventus, it would have been Leverkusen through to the last 16. It's probably not that Jan Oblak could have stayed in the dressing room. I don't recall him having actually anything to do, really. Maybe one shot from distance.
If I can think of a team that's least likely to send their goalkeeper up for a corner, I would think Atletico and think of Jan Oblak. But this is a night on which it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I think. And, you know, I think it was difficult for Lokomotiv, knowing they're already out, having suffered a bad defeat in their final Russian Premier League game for 3 months at the weekend. So it was tough for them. And it's clear that they wanted to save face. But that made it quite a challenge for Atletico, because they're not used to having the ball. They're not used to having to break down 11 men behind the ball. That is not their strong suit. And really, I think that's where Joao Felix came into his own. I mean, they are the player that he is the player that Atletico are looking to. That's clear. They've paid a lot of money for him. He's just coming back from injury, and there's a lot of pressure on him. But he's never hiding. He's always wanting to take responsibility. He's always wanting to get the ball. And he found so many different ways, from the moment when he won the first penalty to deep into the second half, right up until the point where he's taken off. He found so many different ways to hurt Lokomotiv.
Yeah, he did. After he won that early penalty, which Trippier missed, he actually picked the ball up, didn't he?
He wanted that one as well.
He wanted that one. And he may well have just won the internal battle if they win a penalty at the weekend in La Liga. So Atletico through. They're in the battle with Leverkusen, who had to win. They didn't. They were beaten 2-0 at home by Juventus. Who else? Cristiano Ronaldo opened the scoring with 15 minutes left after a nice cross from Paulo Dybala, who then teed up Gonzalo Higuain in the 92nd minute to make it 2-0. But at 0-0, and when Atleti's game was still in the balance, Leverkusen hit the woodwork. They flew out of the traps, but they couldn't find that opening goal. And it was very comfortable in the end behind Juve with Atleti in second. But had Leverkusen got that bit of fortune, maybe that would have put some pressure on Diego Simeone's side, because I'm sure they would have known what was going on in Germany.
Absolutely. And I think you do look at that Moussa Diaby shot, as you said, that hit the post. And Leverkusen have been playing well in the Bundesliga of late. There's plenty of thrust there. I do wonder if Peter Bosz will look at the team that he picked and say, well, maybe I should have thrown caution to the wind a little bit. Leon Bailey only came in the second half, and given his form of late, I thought that was questionable. But having said that, you've got to be honest, you're playing Juventus.
Yeah.
And even if Juventus ostensibly don't have anything to play for, and Maurizio Sarri had said in his press conference, there's no game we take lightly. Every game matters to a club like Juventus, and every game matters to him. And even though they made some changes, you know, look at the team they put out with Ronaldo and Higuain leading the line. I mean, you've got to shut the back door as well.
Yes, couldn't agree more. And actually, Juventus ended up unbeaten in Group D. So we heard that Atletico are through. Thomas Partey was one of their best performers, and we can hear from him now.
We are happy, we needed this victory because we were having a lot of great games, but we could not win the previous games, and today is very important, and we are happy with the victory. Well, the team went into the game from the beginning. We know we're going to put pressure on them. When we miss the first penalty, we know we're going to keep trying, We are used to missing a lot of opportunities, but well, we keep on trying, and today we are happy we are able to win.
Thomas Partey digging out his club's forwards there. Diego Simeone isn't listening to UEFA Champions League match day live, but Thomas Partey and Atleti will be through to the last 16. So will Juventus. Group D finished like this. Juve 16 points, Atleti 10 points, Leverkusen 6 points and into the Europa League, and Lokomotiv Moskva with 3 points. They won't be playing football in the new year. To Group B, where Jose Mourinho's Tottenham were in Munich, hoping to erase memories memories of that extraordinary 7-2 home defeat to Bayern on match day two.
Gnabry running at the Spurs defence, is deflected to Kingsley Coman, who scores. Lovely finish with the right foot into the bottom corner. And Bayern have pounced first. Ryan Sessegnon, left-hand side! Ryan Sessegnon has scored for Tottenham. A left-footed rocket. Wonderful goal for the youngster. And he's taken it. It's Bayern 1, Tottenham 1. All the way across behind Coutinho. Davis off the post. In it goes. Thomas Muller's claiming it. And Bayern have got themselves a second. They lead Tottenham by 2-1. Back to Coutinho, who bends a shot into the corner. That is something really special from Philippe Coutinho. A shot from edge of the D into the bottom corner of Gazzaniga's net. They now lead 3-1.
Bayern very impressive, so Mourinho beaten in the Champions League for the first time in just his second match in charge of Tottenham. And we can hear from him now on his team selection for the game in Munich, given both teams were already through before they played.
It's a difficult match to prepare when I'm thinking about what next. So I had to rest players, and it was important for Kane, Ali, Vertonghen to stay at home. It was important also to learn about my players, because normally we learn about the players a lot in pre-season, where you have 4, 5, 6 matches to play. I had boys here today that for me was so important to learn more about them. It was okay. I would prefer a different result. I would prefer to score in the last minute and instead of 3-1, 3-2. But this is what it is, and not much to say.
Very interesting from Mourinho, who has, since taking over, talked quite a lot about the fact he hasn't had very much time on the training ground with his best 11, and he will have that tomorrow now with the likes of Harry Kane, because they didn't go to Germany, Jonathan Beck, who you heard from shortly a while ago with the commentary. So you can see why he left those big players at home, given they were always going to finish second in the section.
Yeah, that's right. Wasn't going to change. He wanted to learn a little bit more. And supplementary to what he said there in the interview, he said, as an example, I learned a lot about Juan Foyt, who didn't play 1 minute for me until today. I learned more in this 90 minutes from him than in 2 or 3 weeks of work without him actually playing a game. So there you go. That's his reasoning. The likes of Aurier, Vertonghen, Dele Alli, Kane all rested, and they'll be available and a little bit fresher for the weekend. But yeah, it's been a learning experience, and I think that's what he's still doing. The time will come on the training ground now that the European commitments are put to bed until February. They'll find out exactly in the next few days or so who they'll face next February when it comes to the last 16. But he wanted to just find out a little bit more about his side. He's obviously succumbed to defeat, and Bayern have gone on to become the first German side to win all 6 of their group games, not quite reaching Paris Saint-Germain's goal record for the tournament, falling 1 short. And remarkably, Robert Lewandowski didn't come on at all. Joshua Zirkzee, an 18-year-old who's only recently been promoted to the first team squad, was the striking option put on towards the end by Hansi Flick. So no goal record for Robert Lewandowski either, who could have overhauled Cristiano Ronaldo's group stage goal record. He will be fresher for the weekend as they look to overcome this problem in the Bundesliga, which has seen them lose the last two. But they feel that this is another step in the right direction.
Yeah, congratulations to Bayern winning all 6 games. Elsewhere in Group B, Olympiakos beat Sven Zvezda by 1-0. An incredibly late penalty scored by Youssef El Arabi, who had earlier hit the post after a crazy handball from Janda in the penalty area. Sven Zvezda missed the penalty in the first half through to Mane, and that proved crucial because Olympiakos, with that win, pipped Sven Zvezda to third place, and they will go through to the Europa League. So Group B finished like this: Bayern 18 points, Spurs 10 points, Olympiakos 4 points, Sven Zvezda 3 points. Into Group A, big win for 2 already qualified teams. Paris Saint-Germain thumped Galatasaray by 5-0. All of their superstar forwards impressed. 5 different goal scorers: Icardi, Sarabia, Neymar, Mbappe and Cavani. How about that for a front line? Ridiculous, Andy Brassel. They were already through comfortably. Galatasaray losing, and that meant that Club Brugge, whatever happened, would finish above Galatasaray in third. Club Brugge were beaten 3-1 by Real Madrid. Hans Vanakan putting them 1-1 after Rodrigo had opened the scoring for Real Madrid, but Vinicius Junior and Luka Modric wrapped up all 3 points for Real Madrid. So that section, Group A, finished like this. Paris Saint-Germain 16 points, Real Madrid 11 points, Club Brugge 3 points and Galatasaray 2 points. OK, the last 16 draw takes place on Monday in Nyon. You can watch it live on UEFA.com from 12 noon CET. Seeded teams, Barcelona, Bayern, Juve, Leipzig, Liverpool, Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain and Valencia. Unseeded, Dortmund, Chelsea, Lyon, Napoli, Real Madrid, Tottenham, Atletico and Atalanta. You've had 20 minutes, Andy Brassel. From that list, who would you have amongst your favourites?
Well, I had 20 minutes, but 20 seconds later, I thought of my two finalists. Draw notwithstanding, I'm going to go for Liverpool and Juventus.
OK. Phil Blacker, who was watching Atletico Lokomotiv Moskva?
Liverpool also for me. I think it's very difficult to back against them, the form that they're in, but also despite being below their best domestically, it could just be one of those seasons for Bayern, certainly the way it started in the group stage.
Yeah, Hansi Flick is doing a very good job since taking temporary charge. Just to mark your card, seeded teams are at home in the second legs, and remember, no team can play a club from the group stage or from a side from the same national association, which very quickly makes it rather interesting, Andy Brassel, because it's not such an open draw now.
No, that's absolutely right. And I think if you look at Chelsea in particular, who've done incredibly well to get this far, they're going to get a biggie.
They are going to get a biggie. Thanks for listening to the show tonight and throughout the group stage, which is now over. The knockout stage beckons, then it gets really serious. A big upset on Wednesday. Champions League debutants Atalanta won 3-0 away at Shakhtar to make it out of their group. Atletico became the final team to book their place in the last 16 after beating Lokomotiv. And Bayern became only the seventh team in history to win all of their Champions League group stage matches. Join us in February when the knockout stages begin on Tuesday, the 18th of February, on UEFA.com and on the official app. But for now, for myself, Chris Barrett, and all of the team, it's goodbye and good night to the group stage.
Here's the cross from Koke. On a fabulous first-time finish. That might just do it. Atletico do have their second goal of the game.
Back to Coutinho, who bends a shot into the corner. That is something really special from Philip Coutinho. And Bayern have daylight between themselves and Tottenham.
Here's the free kick. Malinovsky takes it near post. It's gone all the way in. Pašalić is claiming a touch. And the most extraordinary comeback in Group C. And now a place in the round of 16 beckons.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.